Galatians 6, verses 1 through 9. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instructions in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
More time. Father, your word is before us, and we give you thanks. Now, I pray that we not only listen, but we somehow absorb. And with the absorption, we somehow do, and when we do, we bring you glory. That really is why we're here. And I simply ask that you would take me out of your way, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. What makes us different? What sets a Christian apart from those around us in our day and age? If you were to take someone at random who doesn't go to church in the Traverse City area and stack them up next to one of us, what would they see? How would we be different? What kind of differential could you articulate? In fact, what makes us different from a Buddhist or a secular humanist or anybody? What can we point to? For me, it goes back to these two things that I've been talking about. What do we believe? And I mean really believe, not just give lip service to. What do we really believe? And the second is, how do we behave? How do we behave? How do we treat people? People we disagree with, people whose lifestyles we may not approve of. I unashamedly believe in God. I believe in God on his terms. I don't get frustrated with him when he doesn't do what I want. I think many of the objections that you and I hear about God are often because he doesn't operate according to the expectations of those who are frustrated with him. They believe that God ought to stop all suffering, feed everyone, remove every catastrophe, forgive everyone of everything and every time, all the time, that accountability and consequences should never have a bearing, and it doesn't matter that they don't stand by these standards, they think that God ought to. They want God to operate the way they do. They cherry-pick stories out of the Bible, and they pick things that they find that are easy targets. Even if it's contradictory or fanciful, they expect God to do according to their plans. And then they point to us, which unfortunately hits the target more often than not. And they say that we're judgmental. Yeah, guilty. Are we ever judgmental? Yeah. Listen, really? Okay, thank you. We are at times lacking grace and compassion. They say that we're hypocritical, to which I say, ha, so is everybody. And yes, we often, in a manner, behave in ways that do not reflect Jesus Christ. And it's not like we don't know better. We are told very clearly in Scripture that there are some things that God expects out of each and every one of us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, Paul says, there is no law. And this is where the one another's come into play. Those 50-plus statements that are found in the Bible and how we should do, how we should be caring and humble and encouraging and loving. And as you go along, you can't help but see that all of these one another's are spiritual. They fall in line with the fruit of the spiritual. And as spiritual people, we will demonstrate the character of God. And that's what really, I think, sets us apart. Nothing that we do, nothing that somehow I can brag about and put on my back as being number one. It's just that I do, by the power of God, I can behave in the manner of God. Because I'm going to be just like God. It says in Psalm 68, praise be to the Lord God, the God who is our Savior, who daily carries our burdens. Carry one another's burdens. That's what Paul's talking about in chapter 6. Brothers and sisters. He goes, brothers and sisters. Oh, by the way, you know that there is no such thing as a perfect church. You know that, right? If you've been in West Bay for longer than 15 minutes, you know that we're not a perfect church. By the way, don't ever hesitate to read Scripture because you're afraid to make a mistake. Did you notice that when I read the psalm this morning, I kind of rewrote the psalm? I didn't do it on purpose. I just made a mistake. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We are not a perfect church. There are no perfect church. There is no perfect Christians. The delightful thing is that we all struggle in different ways. Not everybody struggles in the same manner. And the blessing is that those who don't struggle the way I do can come alongside and give me a hand. And where I don't struggle and you do, I can come alongside and give you a hand. What may confound me might be a snap for you. But we all help one another. And Paul says, listen, here's one way you can help one another. If you are caught in a sin, one of the areas we can help one another is when we mess up, when we fall down, when we do something that God doesn't want us to do. He's not talking about a settled course of action. He's not talking about something we just repetitively do. It's something when we catch ourselves and we find ourselves in a situation and you need help getting out. You've crossed the line and you know it. He said, if you are one of these people who is watching someone, you who are spiritual. Now, that doesn't mean spiritual in a derogatory manner. That means somebody who walks according to the Holy Spirit. Someone who lives according to the Holy Spirit. If you are a person who is spiritual, you need to restore that person gently. I like that word, restore. You should be somebody who comes alongside and helps them out, helps them recover, helps them get back on track. You want to be somebody who will give them the necessary assistance that they can indeed begin to recover from what they've done. You're going to rehabilitate them gently. The idea is to bring them back, make them part of the family, make them home. It's redemption. It's not condemnation. Condemnation is easy. It doesn't take any talent to condemn someone. It doesn't take any strength. Rehabilitation is hard. That's work. And he says, restore the person gently, but watch yourself. Watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. When you go into the business of helping other people, you have to monitor yourself all the time because it is going to be easy for you to somehow think, oh, this could never happen to me. I am better than that. It's easy to become judgmental. It's easy to become just a hair arrogant. All arrogance and pride are checked at the door when you want to help someone step out of sin. All arrogance and pride is not allowed. Gossip, not tolerated. Holding forth judgment, not an option. Why? We, too, may be tempted in sin. If you went through the history of your life, I'm going to guarantee you there was a point in time when you tripped over something that you never saw coming, that you never thought was something you had the capacity to do. And you somehow did something that you just can't believe happened. I'm not asking you to tell us. I'm just going to say, I will almost guarantee it, if you're over the age of 21, you did something. Something, somehow, somewhere, you too have been tempted to sin. Our awareness of our ability to fall is one of the defenses that God gives us. When I help somebody, I am perfectly aware of my own failings. When I help somebody, I am perfectly aware I could be the next person who trips. Carry one another's burdens. I hope you underline things in the Bible. This is one of the things I would underline. I'd underline, carry one another's burdens. Not the normal load that you and I all have to take care of, but this is something that's beyond that. It might be physical. It could be emotional. It might be financial. It could be spiritual. It could be relational. It could be anything. And you just need someone to come alongside and help you to do it. You can't do it by yourself. You cannot handle it alone. It's a temporary thing. You cannot handle it all alone. You see this all the way through the Bible. Psalm 55. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. God's involved in helping us. Why can't we do God's work? 1 Peter 5:7. Cast your cares on the Lord. Why? He cares for you. He'll help us carry the load. And when you and I help one another carry these burdens, when you and I help come alongside and you and I help pick up the load, we fulfill the law of Christ. And the first law of Christ I'm thinking about is found in John chapter 13, where Jesus said, I want you to love one another. Just the way that I have loved you, I want you to love one another, because everyone is going to be able to tell that you're my disciples if you love one another. All I want you to do is come alongside and pick it up. I want you to love in word, I want you to love in attitude, and I want you to love in action. I find that word is easiest, attitude is next hardest, and sometimes action's just miserable. Doing this is not always fun. I, for whatever reason, in seminary and in my first years of ministry, I think I moved 10 pianos. At the age of 30, I have moved my entire life quota of pianos. I don't play a piano, but I gotta tell you, nobody has ever made a light piano. And everyone has to move it up or down a floor. They can't just leave it on the same floor. They gotta move it somewhere up, somewhere down. And no one I know can move a piano on their own. And they looked at me and he goes, he's big, get him. I'm big, but I'm clumsy. People look at me and they say, hey, he moves things. It's a spiritual gift. Not always doing something is fun. Not always doing something is rewarding. Sometimes it's a headache. But Jesus said, do it anyways. Why? Somebody needs help. Somebody needs help. By the way, have you ever noticed that people need help at the worst possible moment? How come nobody needs help at 2 in the afternoon? Why is it 2 in the morning? And why, when they need help with a tire, does it have to be dark and rainy? How come it's never sunny and 50 and 60 degrees? Doesn't make any difference. We go and help. Does not make any difference. We simply go and do what needs to be done. We show love in the caring for one another. And here's what Paul says. Is, you know why you do this? Because you have the right attitude about who you are. I love verse number 3. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. If you think you're all that, you need to go back and look in the mirror again. If you think you're really something and that you're just so important, you are so much better than anyone else that you shouldn't have to care or take care of these other lower people of a lesser world, go back. You're deceiving yourself. When we do something, service needs humility. It has to be humility. We need to remember who we are, that I'm a redeemed sinner, that I have been helped beyond measure, and that I have been given by grace all that I have. And Paul says, everything you have in Jesus Christ, it's grace given, so you can't brag about it. When you think you're something and you are not, well, be careful. Test your own actions. We all need reality checks. We need to make sure that the actions that are taken are motivated by love and not to get a pat on the back, that they are in line with the love and power of Jesus Christ, and that when we're doing it that the focal point is on them and on Jesus and not on ourselves. Then you can take pride in themselves alone. We should never take pride at the expense of those that we are helping, and we should never compare ourselves or compare them to anyone else. There is a Bible verse in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, verse 7, verse 1 and 2. Jesus said, those who judge will be judged by the measure that they use. Those who, whatever, basically how you judge people, well, that's what you're going to get. I want to be judged by grace. I want to be judged by forgiveness. I want to be judged by compassion. So if I want those things, I had better be distributing those myself. Paul is saying to the Galatians, look, when you see someone in there, it's easy to think, what's wrong with those people? One of the hardest things to do in the church is to come along someone who is so evidently in need of help and do it in a way that they feel lifted up. Humility, not humiliation, is the key. Nevertheless, we need to be helping and caring one for another. And each one has to carry his own load. Verse number 5. Everyone should carry their own load. We all have responsibilities. Everyone has something else. I don't need people to help me do my laundry. I can do my own laundry. I don't need somebody to help me mow my lawn. I don't need somebody to help me do the dishes. I mean, all of us have certain things that we get. There are things that we simply do every day in and day out. We call them chores. There are things that just have to be done. What happens when you neglect your chores? None of you ever neglect your chores? Excellent. Well done. What happens if you don't do your laundry for 2 weeks? You have a mess and no clothes. If you aren't dusting the house, it becomes filthy. If you don't do the things that need to be, we have a load to carry. Simply has to be done day in, day out, day in. And Paul's not talking about that. Everybody's got their own load, but when the burdens come, that's when you need somebody to come alongside. Paul says, I don't need you to vacuum my house, but if I need something huge, I need you there with me. Devotional actions, ministry, just the normal pattern of living, you don't get to celebrate that. I find it fascinating that our athletes celebrate doing everything. If you're a football fan, have you ever seen somebody catch a pass and act like they cured cancer? Have you ever seen that? All of a sudden they make a run and they jump up and down like all of a sudden they've discovered a continent. When I fold laundry, I don't come around going, I don't do that. When I unload and reload the dishwasher, I'm not going, whoo, 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 whoo. You know, I don't call out to my neighbor and say, look at this. We don't do that. Why do we celebrate stuff like that? It's something we don't celebrate. You help people with burdens, not with loads. Oh, and then he puts in verse number 6. I don't know why he put it there, but I like verse number 6. Nevertheless, one who receives instructions, that would be you, should share all good things with their instructor. That would be me. No. I got to tell you guys take care of us very well. I'm not saying it. I don't know why that's there, but maybe it is that if you want people to do their ministry, sometimes you have to come alongside and help them with the burdens that they have. You have to make it possible for them to be able to do that. And Paul goes through all of these things and gives examples here, here, and here, and here about how we in ministry and how we in care, and how we in the church are to walk along with one another. And then he comes down to the crux of the matter in verse number 7. Listen, do not be deceived, misled, don't be mistaken. God is not mocked. And I like the word mocked. The word mocked in the Greek says, don't turn your snout up at God. Don't turn your snout up at God. Don't mock God. Don't treat him with contempt. Don't be arrogant. Don't boast to be spiritual when you're anything but. Do not do that. Why? Because as you sow, you will reap. What you invest is what you pull out. How you live and how you treat others and how you behave has consequences, and you're going to get something out of it. God is not mocked. What you sow, you will reap. How you interact with those around you? Well, it shows. It shows what kind of relationships that you have. Whoever sows to please their flesh, now you're going, what does that mean? Whoever sows to be sinful. Flesh in the word Bible means living according to sin. The acts of the flesh are obvious, it says earlier. He just told them. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, enviousness, drunkenness, orgies, and all the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like that will not inherit the kingdom of God. When you live like that, you get the rewards of that, and part of that is pain, destruction. When people live a life that is focused on themselves, they reap a harvest of pain. They do not enter the kingdom of God, and their actions and lifestyle have a consequence they never anticipated. Ah, but if you are someone who lives according to the Spirit, if you are trying to sow and you are trying to take the things that the Holy Spirit has and pour it in, well, you know what those things are: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and all those things I just talked about. You get life. You get life. So, let us not get weary in doing good. Verse number 9 is one I look at and think about all the time. Here's a secret that we don't always talk about in the church. Doing good is tiring. Doing good wears you out. I'm going to use Jim for a second because, number one, he's tall and I can see him better than other people. But Jim works all winter long and does a lot with Safe Harbor. He loves those guys. But I'm going to ask you, Jim, do you ever get fed up with them? Do you ever get tired of it? Do you ever just say to yourself, oh, I really don't want to do this? But you don't. And you've seen a harvest, haven't you? You've seen good results from what you've done. You are not always going to feel like doing good. You're not always going to feel like coming alongside and carrying a burden. You're not always going to feel like helping someone. They're not going to call it convenient moments. They're going to ask you to do things you just flat out don't like to do. But you're going to do it. Why? Because it's what we're called to do. We're going to do that. It's a thankless task at times. Oh, have you ever noticed that you help people and number one, they don't thank you, and number two, they don't get better? Have you ever experienced that? It's kind of like ramming your head against a wall. It's like, what is this? It's like throwing BBs against a brick wall. Not a lot sticks. It's like, you know what? Why do we do this? Because we're called to. And if we do not weary, if we do not give up, at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. Like the parable of the sower, if we keep going, then we're going to find something 30, 60, 100 times more than we ever invested. You see, Jesus did the same thing with us. How many times has Jesus helped us and had, like, nothing happened? How many times has Jesus done something for us and it seems like we were thankless and it just didn't work? But Jesus never gave up. He never gave up. He never stopped. Matthew chapter 11 starts with verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The one thing we need to remember when we are at the end of our rope, when people have been asking us and we are just flat out fed up, is that Jesus was never fed up with us. That Jesus has carried our burdens more often than we can ever think. That when we were tired, exhausted, and at the end of our rope, he brought us in, and all of a sudden we found rest. The burden he now gives to us is light. The burden he now gives to us is one we can easily carry. So we have the time, the energy, and the ability to touch somebody else's life. I don't know what's going to happen to you this week. I don't know who you're going to run into. I have no idea what you're going to be asked. But there are people watching you, and they want to know what it is you believe. And the thing that they discover most about what you believe is how you behave. And when they see you doing this, it's going to stick in their mind, and they're going to ask you, why do you do that? What is it? Why do you do that? And you can give them the best answer you ever had. Jesus. I do it because of Jesus. So when you look at your friend, you look at that stranger, you can go back to a great song from my childhood when I was in high school. You look at him and you can say, he ain't heavy, he's my brother.